Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning, sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and broadcast weekly since 1999. Please visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find our history, podcasts, and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. Do pray for them. And if you're able, please make it possible for us to continue these broadcasts with your financial gifts, which are tax deductible in Canada. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website, and be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Good News in the Morning on CFRA 580. I am the Reverend Joel Charles, the senior pastor of the Shiloh Holiness Church in the East End of Ottawa, and I'm just delighted and honored to share some good news with you on this day. But before I get into today's topic, I must tell you that this program is sponsored by listeners like you, and for that we are very grateful. We are especially thankful for the sponsors of today's program, which is a local company who have been sponsoring for several years. And I know that this program has been a blessing to many, so we thank our sponsors. But I want you to remember us in your prayers and also consider supporting us financially. We know that when you do that, God will richly bless you, and that others who listen to this program will also be blessed by your giving, because your giving makes it possible for someone to have good news in their morning. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what I will share today. Now, we're all imperfect people, and we live in an imperfect world. We all experience failures in life. As a matter of fact, the very night that Jesus Christ was arrested, before he went to the cross, two of his best friends had massive failures. Judas had the failure of betrayal, and Peter had the failure of denial. So how does one handle failure? Well, sadly, Judas rejected the mercy of God, and he later went out and took his life. But Peter accepted the mercy of God, and he went out and became the leader of the church. So today, what I want to do is look at God's mercy and our failures. So I want you to grab your Bibles, turn your gadgets on with the Bible app on, and as you do that, let's listen to a song that is sung by the Shiloh Holiness Church Ensemble, a song called 10,000 Angels. And when I return, we will explore God's mercy and your failures. How do you handle personal failures?
His holy name, all alone. and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good News in the Morning on CFRA. And again, I'm the Reverend Joel Charles from the Shiloh Holiness Church. And we're talking about God's mercy and your failures. How do you handle a personal failure? Well, first, we must explore the causes of personal failure. What causes personal failure? Well, I submit to you that failure, whether it's financial, business, marriage, relational, I mean, on all the other areas of failure, they're caused primarily by three things. The first is we overestimate our abilities. We overestimate our abilities, our capabilities. Now, this is a big cause of failure in our lives. You see, we think we're stronger than we really are. You think you can handle more than, and you think you can handle temptations. Well, here is what happens in Matthew chapter 26 and verses 31 to 35. Here's what he says. Jesus said, "Tonight, every one of you will desert me. For the scripture says that when the shepherd is killed, the sheep will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Then Peter boasted, "But Lord, even if everyone else fails you, I will never deny you." Jesus replied, "Peter, the truth is that before this night is over and before the rooster crows at dawn, you will deny him knowing me three times." Peter insisted, "But Lord, I would never do that. Even if I have to die with you, I'll never deny knowing you." And all the other disciples vowed the same thing. Now, notice three times Peter says, "I'll never deny you. I would never do that. And I would never deny knowing you ever at all." Now that is absolutely overestimating one's strength. You know, a lot of businesses fail from overestimating abilities. A lot of battles are lost because armies overestimated their strengths. A lot of students flunk out of school because they overestimated their abilities. A lot of spouses fall into affairs because they overestimated their strengths. They think, "I can handle this. It's just a little harmless office flirt. There's nothing going to happen from it. I can handle this." Listen, folks, beware of the thinking, "This could never happen to me." You know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? It says this: "If you think I am strong, I can handle this, I'd never fall for that temptation, then be careful, for you could easily fall too." You know, I believe the Bible supports that one of the reasons we have so many failures in our lives is because we think we're stronger than we really are. Now, I don't have time to get into details on this point, but here is another thing to consider. We not only do we overestimate our strengths, but we also misuse our strengths. And when you don't pay attention to your strengths, guess what happens? They become weaknesses. It is said an unguarded strength is a double weakness. So one of the reasons why we fail is because we overestimate our abilities. Secondly, we fail. Why? Because we fear the disapproval of others. Every time you make a decision based on what other people will think, you are sowing the seeds for failure in your life. When you worry about what other people will think, when you fear disapproval, you kind of go with the flow. Even when you know it's the wrong thing, you go along to get along. What, you become a people pleaser. You make commitments that you can't possibly keep simply because you're trying to make everybody happy. Now, Matthew 26 again says this. Now, the Bible says this. Now, this is after they've had the Last Supper in the upper room. Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Now, that's a little problem right there. He's following Jesus at a distance. He follows Jesus at a distance to the courtyard of the high priest's palace. And he went in and sat down with the guards to see what was going to happen to Jesus. As Peter was sitting in the courtyard, a servant girl came up to him and said, "You were with Jesus of Galilee, weren't you?" But standing there in front of everyone, now folks, that's the operational phrase here, standing there in front of everyone, Peter denied it. "I don't even know what you're talking about," he said. Think about this. Peter has just spent 3.5 years with Christ, the Son of God. He's lived with him for 3.5 years. And the first time the rubber hits the road, he's in the crisis and he denies him. He's more worried about what other people think than he is about identifying with Christ. By the way, this is a good place to ask the question, are you a follower of Jesus? If not, I urge you to become one today. Why? Because following Jesus will bring many successes in your life. But you may say, "Yes, I am a follower of Jesus." Well, I ask you, do you follow him closely? If you do not follow Jesus today, you are being set up for failure. When you let anybody else or anything else be more important than God in your life, they become your God. And that's called an idol. And that's a setup for failure. You know, Socrates said the unexamined life is not worth living. Well, I say to you, the unexamined life is a setup for failure. I say this because a hidden wound is always behind the fear of the disapproval of other people. So maybe you don't examine your life. Maybe it was a rejection from the past. Maybe it was an unmet need you had growing up. Maybe it was some hurt. Maybe it was a trauma that happened in your life, a pain or an injury you had of some unmet need. If you don't know who you are as a man, as a woman, you will be manipulated by the disapproval of other people the rest of your life. And you'll find yourself backing down when you actually need to stand up, saying no when you need to say yes. I'm saying to you that you will likely experience failures when you overestimate your abilities, when you fear the disapproval of others, and when, for the third reason, we speak without thinking. Now, this is probably the most common cause of all failure in our lives. We put our mouth in motion before we put our mind in gear. We speak impulsively, rashly, we speak in haste, and we speak thoughtlessly. Saying what you feel because you feel it is not a mark of courage. No, that's a mark of immaturity. Children do that. They say what they feel. Matthew chapter 26 in verses 71 to 74 says this. Then Peter went out to the entrance of the courtyard, and there another woman saw him and said to those standing there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it. And this time he swore an oath and said, "I don't even know that man." But after a while, the men who had been standing there came over to Peter and said, "We know that you are one of them because your Galilean accent gives you away." Peter lost his temper and started cursing and swearing. He shouted, "I don't know the man." Immediately, he heard a rooster crow. Swearing is the sign of frustration. Swearing is a sign of fear. So we fail because we overestimate our strengths, we fear the disapproval of others, and we speak without thinking. Peter did all three, and he had the biggest failure of his life. And sometimes we do all three, and we have many failures in our lives. Now, I told you all that Peter did wrong, but what did Peter do right? So the question then is, how does one recover from failure? I don't know what you're dealing with, but you might be dealing with failure right now. You may know someone who's failed. What do you do? How do you help someone who's failed? Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but before then, let's listen to the song, "How Deep the Father's Love," by an amazing group called Selah, and we will return and we'll explore how to recover from failure.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Well, welcome back, and we're talking about handling personal failure, God's mercy, and your failures. Now, we talked about the causes of personal failure, overestimating our abilities, fearing the disapproval of others, and speaking without thinking. But how do we recover from that? Well, folks, how do you recover from failure? First, you've got to grieve it. Yeah, that's right. Grieve it. You grieve it. You grieve the failure. You don't minimize it. You don't pretend it didn't happen. You don't justify the failure. You don't rationalize the failure. You don't make excuses for the failure. You grieve it. You feel the pain. You don't brush it off. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. You don't downplay it, and you feel the pain, and you don't rush to feel better. Now, that's not easy, but we've got to do that. Now, this is a principle of life, what I'm about to tell you. And listen carefully. To get past most things, you've got to go through them. To get past most things, you've got to go through them. That's true in so many areas, but it's particularly true with failure. To get past your failure, that failure in your life, whatever form of failure it is, you've got to go through it. You can't go around it. You can't go over failure. You can't go under failure. You can't ignore failure. You need to grieve the failure. Allow yourself to feel the pain. Why? You see, when you grieve your failure, you learn lessons that help prevent future failings. Matthew chapter 26 says this: when Peter heard the rooster crow, he remembered that Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." Then Peter went outside and wept bitterly. That's grieving. You know, Psalm 51, verse 17, David says this: the sacrifice God wants is a broken and contrite spirit. God will not reject a humble and repentant heart. And taking time to grieve causes us to have a broken, contrite spirit, a humble and repentant heart. The psalm is actually saying God is looking for humility, contriteness, people who would say, "God, you're right, I blew it." So we recover from failure when we take the time to grieve. But also we recover from failure when we get support. The very first thing Jesus did when he started his ministry, this is very interesting. When he started his ministry, you know what Jesus did? He formed a support group. He chose 12 people to be a part of that support group. So if you've had a failure or many failures in your life, you need to start grieving it, but you need to get support. There's a scripture in Mark chapter 16, verse 10, right after the, well, around the resurrection time. Mary Magdalene went and found the disciples together, grieving and weeping. Notice, they were together. They had just experienced a major loss, but they were together. When you go through a major failure, a major loss in your life, I want you to understand you've got to resist the urge to isolate. In other words, to detach, to segregate, to become alone, to quarantine yourself. You've got to resist that urge to isolate, but you must also resist the urge to insulate. In other words, you got to resist that urge to protect yourself, to enclose yourself, to wrap yourself, to prevent yourself, others from getting in. That's dangerous when you isolate and you insulate. Now, it's kind of like the worst thing you could do, because now I'm not saying you need to tell everybody, but you do need to tell someone, a few people who love you, who are going to pray for you and who are going to support you. Why? We were never meant to go through life on our own. We were never meant to go through life by ourselves. We're better together. We're meant for community. Where does Peter go instantly after he's had his biggest failure? He goes to his support group. He doesn't go and hide in a cave. He goes to his support group. The disciples were together grieving and weeping. By the way, the best time to build a support network in your life is before the crisis. Fortunately, Peter had a support group. He'd been in that group for 3.5 years. So when he had the biggest failure in his life, he had a place to go, people to grieve with, and people to get support from. So he grieved and he got support. But here's the third thing you must do to recover from failure. You got to cast yourself on God's mercy. Peter himself wrote about this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, because of his great mercy, God has given us a new life. God has given us a new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope. Peter has had a massive failure in his life, but he's not going around in guilt. He's not going around in despair. He's not going around in condemnation. He's not walking around in shame. He's not walking around in regret. He's not timid and going, God could never use me. No, he says, I'm walking around in hope. My life is filled with hope. In spite of my failure, my life is filled with hope. Why? Because of the mercy of God. And later in the same book, he says it, and he says this from personal experience. Here's what he says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on God because he cares for you. Why did Peter tell people to do that? Because that's what he did when he failed. He just cast all his anxieties. He cast himself on the mercy of God. What does it mean to cast yourself on the mercy of God? It simply means to come to God and say, God, there is no way I deserve your forgiveness. I really blew it. There is no way I deserve your mercy, your grace, or your kindness. But God, you're a kind God. You're a loving God. You're a forgiving God. So I'm just asking you to do what you do best. Love me and show me mercy. That's casting yourself on the mercy of God. When you sincerely turn to God, it will amaze you what God will do in you, for you, and through you. Friends, I do not know what failures you may have experienced, but God can turn things around if you will turn to Him. Today can be the turning point for a turnaround in the areas of your life where you have failed. If you would grieve your failures, get support, cast yourself on the mercy of God, see what God will do. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. In other words, it never stops, it never ends, it's unchanging, it's never exhausted. God never gets tired of loving us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God is faithful to us in his mercy no matter what we do. Let me show you one of the most amazing verses. I'll read to you one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are unfaithful, he, God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God cannot deny himself. God cannot be unfaithful. And even when you're unfaithful, he will be faithful. You may give up on God, but he's never giving up on you. That's the mercy of God. You may be unfaithful to God. He's never going to be unfaithful to you. So let me ask you two questions. First question. What failure have you had that God wants to heal you from and use you? What failure have you had that God wants to use for something good? God wants to take your greatest failure and turn it into your greatest success. God wants to take your greatest hurt and turn it into your greatest ministry. What failure does God want to use in your life? Here's my second question. Are you going to respond to your failure like Judas or like Peter? Judas had a breakdown. Peter had a breakthrough. Judas gave up. Peter looked up. Judas rejected the mercy of God. Peter accepted the mercy of God. Judas lived in condemnation. Peter lived in celebration of the mercy of God. Judas ended up taking his life in despair. Peter ended up living his life on purpose. It's all your choice. Are you going to respond to your failure like Judas or like Peter? It's all your choice. That is the mercy of God. Friends, I hope today you will choose to experience the mercy of God. That mercy made possible to us by Jesus Christ. That mercy is available to us today, tomorrow, and the rest of your life. It's interesting to know in the scriptures that even after Peter had failed, you know, Jesus had said, Peter, I prayed for you. And when you would have repented, strengthen the brethren. Can I pray with you right where you are? I want you to pray with me and pray after me. Would you say, God, I've had a lot of failures in my life. I want to do the right things like Peter did. I don't want to brush things aside and rationalize my failures. I want to grieve them. I'm coming to you today, Lord, casting myself on your mercy. I don't deserve your forgiveness or your grace. But because of Jesus Christ, because you are a forgiving God and you love to show mercy, forgive me and have mercy on me. God, give me success or healing where I have failed and help me to use my failures to help others. I humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let me bless you with a special blessing this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in grace and mercy. And that peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. And every blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is upon you and with you both now and forever. If you receive that, would you say amen right where you are? Well, beloved, I thank you for listening, and I want you to please tune again next week for some more good news in the morning. God bless. This is Reverend Joel Charles from the Shiloh Holiness Church. It was a pleasure speaking with you this morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program, but the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We are so thankful for the donations on which we depend to keep us on the air week by week. We invite you, individuals and companies, to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website. Or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.